Welcome to Scripture Beneath the Surface, an outreach of Preparation Ministries, a presentation to encourage God's people to embrace a life of holiness and to move away from the worldly lifestyle of today's church. It is our hope that you will come to understand the message of 2 Corinthians 6, 17, and 18, which tells us to come out from among them and be a separate people. We bring this to you because we believe Jesus is coming soon. Now here is our host, Randy Smith.
Hello. Thanks for being with us. Today we're going to take a look at the question, can God be trusted in everything? And I'd like to start by asking a few simple questions. First, what would you do if a used car salesman said, "This little number gets 65 miles per gallon. It was owned by a little old lady who only sat in it on Sunday afternoons. That noise you hear in the engine is just a normal wear and tear. It'll never give you any trouble. Besides, I'll throw in a case of 50 weight oil. Yep, this is the car for you. Take it from me, Honest Bob. You can trust me." Well, if you were the buyer, would you trust him? Or what would you do if your 10-year-old son asked to borrow the car to take his neighborhood girlfriend out for pizza? If he said, "Oh, come on, Dad, you can trust me," would you? Or what would you do if a little 6-year-old girl came up to you and said, "Hey, mister, I want you to turn around with your back to me, close your eyes, and fall backward. I'll catch you. You can trust me." Would you trust her? You know, life is full of situations where you have to put your trust in something or someone. You trust the doctor who operates on you. You trust the pharmacist that he'll give you the proper prescription. You trust the banker with your money. You trust the school teacher with the lives and minds of your children. You trust the car mechanic when he tells you that you need a part for your car that you've never even heard of before. You trust that drivers going in the opposite direction will stay on their own side of the road. You trust that the brake pedal will work when you apply it. In fact, you're so sure your brakes will work that you don't even test them 200 yards prior to every curve, intersection, or stop sign. You just trust they will work. You trust that your furnace will come on while you're away and that the pipes won't freeze. You trust that your freezer will run and keep your food frozen. You trust that your wife won't be out looking for someone else while you're out somewhere and she trusts you for the same thing. In short, we live a life that requires trusting. We learn early on in this life that guarantees are only as good as the maker of the guarantee. That means that whatever we expect, we know that it depends on the person behind the expectation, whether they are trustworthy or not. We learn that in this life there are many risks, and that most of them can't be avoided. We learn that if we were to stay in bed until we were certain there were no risks, we would soon be covered with bed sores. So, this is our option for the daily things of this life. We have to take a look at our situation, examine the possible risks, consider which things and which people give us the best hope for success, and relinquish various measures of control to them. But that word control is of special importance to us. We as humans are born with a natural desire to control everything around us in order to protect ourselves from any possible hurt. It's the human side of us, the flesh part, which gets us into trouble. It's our human nature to trust no one except ourselves. And this is where Satan comes into the picture. Temptation comes from him, and his greatest temptation to us is the temptation to lift ourselves up by the strength of our own hands. This means that he tempts us to take our lives into our own hands and make our own decisions without God's intervention. Not using God's strength, but relying instead on our own strength. In the Bible, Jesus spoke the words found in Matthew 18:3. It says, "Except you become converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." To be as little children means to look to God as your Father, much the same way as little children look to their earthly fathers. Little children don't try to tell their dads what to do, nor do they do what they want whenever they want to, but they look to their Father as their guide, as their director, as their authority. Little children don't question their Father's authority, neither do they try to take that authority away. They don't worry about where their next meal is coming from, nor what to do when the bills come in the mail. They know that their Father has all these things taken care of, and that all they have to do is live each day as it comes and trust Dad that he'll take care of the rest. And it works. Somehow, Dad's always come through with what's needed, and the children are able to leave the worrying to him. They don't even give the problem a second thought, for they have enough to be concerned with each day just growing up. It's when they get a little older that they get a little headstrong. Then they begin to determine that they are big enough to make up their own minds, and this is when obedience to their Father begins to wane. But think about this. The key to coming to Christ as little children is in staying little. If you get big, it's the same thing as lifting yourself up above the authority which should be over you. However, we, as God's creation, are not the authority. God the Father is the authority over all things. And as it says in 1 Corinthians 11:3, Jesus Christ is supposed to be our head. Once again, it is when we begin to get a little headstrong that we blow it. Instead of allowing God the Father to be the supreme authority, and instead of allowing Jesus Christ to be our head, we become headstrong and begin to make our own decisions instead of letting Christ be the decision maker for us. Once upon a time, long before we existed on this planet, Satan determined that he would lift himself up rather than to give God the right to rule over him. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 14 for the reference to this. I'll start reading in verse 12. It says, "How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground, which weakened the nations? For you have said in your heart, 'I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High.'" The term given to Satan in these verses is Lucifer, indicating a distinct brightness. He had determined in his heart to lift himself up. He wasn't looking to be lifted up by the Lord God, but was determined to use his own ability to accomplish his purpose. Of course, he couldn't look to God in this instance because the very nature of his act was in disobedience. His purpose was to exalt himself above the throne of God. He wanted to be like the Most High. The animal nature that Satan chose, rather than the spiritual nature of God, was his downfall. The animal nature relies on physical strength and ability rather than on the spiritual power of God himself. However, even though Satan wanted to lift himself up, the end result was to be brought low. Now, we see that the same problem occurred at the Tower of Babel. God had given the people of the earth instructions to populate the world, replenishing the earth after the flood. However, the people had a different scenario in mind. They got together and determined to build themselves a tower which would reach to heaven in order to establish themselves in the earth. This was not within the scope of keeping God's word. It was, however, directly equivalent with Satan's original purpose of exalting himself instead of remaining humble before God. The people of Babylon also attempted to lift themselves up rather than to exalt the God of heaven. When God came down to see the work they were doing, he put an end to it by confusing their language, thus causing them to spread throughout the earth and replenish it as he had originally intended. So we see that the end result was that God's word came to pass, whether the people wanted it to or not. God's word will always prevail, no matter what evil comes against it. You would think Satan would be smart enough not to do something irretrievably stupid. Having been in heaven, having walked among the stones of fire, having been in the throne room of God, but yet he thought he could lift himself up above God's throne and be his own boss. We as Christians know the end of that story. Satan's end will be in the lake of fire. Human beings should use this example as a deterrent to the temptation to lift themselves up rather than to bow before the Lord. It is not might nor power that will accomplish God's objective, nor will might or power accomplish our own objective, at least if our objective is heaven. Of course, if your objective is hell, if you really want to burn in the lake of fire, then all you have to do is continue trying to do things by your own strength instead of relying on God. But then that would be pretty stupid. However, man's human nature is just that, to leave reason behind, to forget about God and act like animals. You see, animals have no ability to use reason like humans do, at least like humans should do. That's why the Bible in 2 Peter 2:12 and Jude 1:10 refers to unregenerate man as a brute beast. The word brute means without reason. Mankind, when leaving good reason behind, is nothing more than an animal which is brute, which is stupid, and is just like Satan in that he is unable to think and reason in a clear fashion. A brute beast will make decisions based on instinct rather than by contemplating the eternal future. You see, an animal cannot contemplate its life after death, and therefore an animal is said to be brute or without reason. The Bible uses animal terms to describe Satan because he is the perfect example of someone who is brute, like an animal, who refused to consider his eternal future with God and instead decided that he would reject the life he had with God and attempt to develop his own life according to his own ability. Because of this, the Bible refers to Satan as a beast. He is further referred to as a serpent because in God's eyes, he is lower than any other animal. He is referred to as a dragon because he is a ferocious monster of a serpent, and he is referred to as Leviathan because he is that ferocious serpent who lives in the bottom of the sea. Now, the term Leviathan means great ferocious sea animal, and the Bible refers to Satan as living in the sea because the impure waters of earth are used to refer to the lies of Satan. The pure waters, which you can drink, are referred to in Scripture as the truth from God. But the impure waters, those which are undrinkable because they are either salty or contaminated, are used by Scripture to indicate the lies of Satan. In essence, you can drink the pure water from heaven, which will give you life, but you cannot drink the impure waters of Satan, because his lies will kill you. Now, before Satan rebelled, he knew more about God than any human being has ever known. And instead of using good powers of reason, he decided he would shun God's authority and establish his own authority without God. This is totally without reason. This is just plain stupidity. This is the kind of decision that an animal would make, just following their own instincts instead of contemplating the eternal future. We can easily see that Satan acted foolishly. Therefore, because Satan was clearly acting like an animal, it's no wonder that Satan is referred to in Scripture as having a great tail. In fact, Scripture says that Satan drew a third of the angels away from God with his tail. Now, animals have tails. That's the nature of animals. And the animal nature was Satan's answer to God, his choice instead of serving God. So if we as Christians can easily comprehend that Satan was not wise, then why would we try to use the same logic that Satan used? To this question, you might respond with, "What do you mean? I'm not following Satan's logic. I'm choosing to serve God." Sure, I understand where you're coming from. But in many ways, we Christians also leave reason behind, act unwisely, show all our animal nature that is embedded in our flesh, and do stupid things, like trying to accomplish our purpose in life and God's purpose in the earth with our own might and power. We do this by looking to our own strengths and abilities, our own might and power, instead of relying on the Holy Spirit of God. And once again, you will hear me refer to Romans 8:14, "As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." If you rely on your own logic and your own abilities, instead of relying on God and casting your worries to Him, you are not trusting Him, but yourself. Let's take a look at Zechariah chapter 4, and we'll see that the Bible is explaining the concept of following the Holy Spirit of God rather than trying to do it ourselves. It says in this chapter that an angel was speaking to Zechariah the priest and asked him what he saw. Zechariah replied that he saw a lampstand with 7 lamps and 2 olive trees that supplied oil for the lamps. Then the angel explained to Zechariah that these 2 olive trees and the golden lampstand represented God's word, and that what the word of God was saying was, "Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit." At this particular time, it was a message to Zerubbabel, the governor of Israel, not to attempt the restoration of the temple by his own power, but by the power of God. God would accomplish the work through him if he would just follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. You see, it is the Holy Spirit that moves things. It moves you, it moves me, it moves mountains, and it even moves the hearts of kings. The Holy Spirit is the real power and might. In fact, there is no other power except God's power. Therefore, any attempt to accomplish anything at all without God is already doomed to failure. In essence, you can't accomplish anything that is contrary to God's will if God doesn't want to allow you to do it, because there is no other power but God Himself. To attempt to accomplish anything contrary to God's will and without God's power is unreasonable. It is brutish. It is attempting to accomplish something without reasonably considering it from the perspective of our eternal future. You know, to trust God seems to be such a simple thing when we first encounter the concept. But as we try to place our trust in God, Satan will tempt us to become fearful of something, in the sense that some sort of danger is coming our way. The danger may seem to be toward your physical person, or it may be an apparent danger to plans you have for your life. Either way, it's a threat to your human person. And when your fears begin to take hold, you begin to imagine all kinds of negative things that may happen, such as either suffering physically or by suffering mentally because you didn't get your way. But think of this. If we have truly allowed ourselves to be beheaded for the witness of Jesus Christ, then to suffer physically is not really something to be overly concerned about. And if we don't get our way, so what? If we are truly Christians, then what we truly want should be for Christ to get His way. If we're truly concerned with our daily task of being the body of Christ and our only concern is for the Lord's will to be done, then we have no reason to fear. Fear comes when we have something to lose. My favorite secular quote comes from the book Uncle Tom's Cabin by Harriet Beecher Stowe. It says, "I am braver than I once was, because I have lost all. And he that has nothing to lose can afford all risks."
We hope you are enjoying today's message. If you would like a copy of today's program, please listen after Randy's closing thoughts for our contact information. As long as the Lord enables us, we will provide all of our materials free of charge. Please be assured that you will not be asked for any donation. We believe that God will supply our need as He sees fit. God's Word is freely given. Now, once again, here's Randy.
When we finally give in and give all to Jesus, then and only then we will finally find peace of mind. The fear stops when we have nothing that Satan can destroy. Satan can only destroy that which is not of God, or that which does not belong to God. If you give everything to God, your life, your spouse, your children, your house, your car, your clothes, your money, your job, etc., you then have nothing to lose. Satan has no ability to touch you as soon as you have lost all. The greatest peace you will ever find is when you give it all up and let Jesus have His way with your life. You will have frustration, anger, hatred, and extreme fear when you remain in control. The only way you can be truly safe is to give it all to Jesus and let Him take care of it. After all, if you have truly become beheaded for Christ's sake, then you have allowed Jesus to be your head. You see, you're the body of Christ only if the head of Jesus is on your shoulders, symbolically speaking. If your head is still giving the directions, then you have missed the concept in 1 Corinthians 11:3 and Revelation 20, verse 4. So many people read Revelation 20, verse 4, where it talks about being beheaded for the witness of Christ, and they misinterpret it. This is where the concept of the guillotine came from, because the person trying to interpret the scripture couldn't see the concept of letting Jesus Christ be your head. But we humans have made a mess out of this life by trying to make our own decisions instead of letting Jesus Christ make our decisions. The Apostle Paul makes it clear in 1 Corinthians 11 that if we are to follow God's line of authority, we will never have our own head. To be beheaded, according to Scripture, means to take your own head off. Of course, a guillotine can remove your head physically, but then you will have no continuing witness. The verse in Revelation 20, verse 4, tells us that when we replace our own head with the head of Christ, then we become true witnesses. This is the only way people will see Christ instead of seeing you. Satan's rebellion is based on being his own authority. He intended to rise up above God instead of staying humble before Him. When we attempt to use our own might and power to accomplish our goals, then we also have entered into rebellion right along with Satan. The tail of Satan, as referred to in Revelation 12:4, is the animal nature. When we give in to the beast nature by trying to reject God as our authority, then we are actually demonstrating that Satan has also drawn us away from God, just as he drew a third of the angels away from God. Satan's tail is that beast nature within him, that animal nature, that refused to use proper reason and to contemplate the eternal future with God. You see, life after death is the most important thing you can think about in this world, And if you decide to trust Jesus Christ for your life after death, then you have made the most perfect decision you will ever make. But to do this, you must not only become part of the body of Jesus, but you must also trust Jesus Christ with being your head.
Thank you for joining us for Scripture Beneath the Surface. If you would like a copy of today's program, please contact us and ask for message number 6, Can God Be Trusted in Everything? As always, there is no charge for our material, and you will not be asked for any donation. In addition, we will send you the complete list of our messages, which contain such topics as Image of the Beast, Mark of the Beast, and the Rapture. There are several ways to obtain our messages. Just contact us in the way which is easiest for you. Our postal address is Preparation Ministries, P.O. Box 475, Olivet, Michigan 49076. That's Preparation Ministries, P.O. Box 475, Olivet, Michigan 49076. We also have an email address. It is preparationministries@gmail.com. That's preparationministries, all one word, @gmail.com. Or you may contact us by telephone. The number is area code 269-763-2114. That's 269-763-2114. We also have a website. You can find us there under the name preparationministries.net, .com, or .org. Preparation Ministries is all one word. Thank you again for listening to Scripture Beneath the Surface, and may God bless.